In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. The first reading today, we hear about this pagan woman. She's a widow from Zarephath in Sidon, and it is to her that Elijah is sent. And he's sent to her, amazingly, because of her faith. We don't know. I guess I said she's pagan. We don't know, but I'm assuming, based on what we read, she hasn't converted to Judaism, but she certainly believed in the God of Israel. Even as she says to Elijah, "As the Lord your God lives." So she's recognizing that God is different from any of the false gods in that he is alive. He's not a statue, nor as today the Buddhists, for instance, would claim he's just this force field that's out there. Now, God is a person, and a person is alive. And this woman knew that. Jesus even made mention of that. All the widows that there were in Israel, they didn't have enough faith. This woman did. She was tested right there at the gate. When Elijah calls out to her and says, you know, ask for some water, and then says, bring me some bread. And she said, I don't have anything. I'm just going to get some sticks, and then the little bit we have left, my son and I are going to eat, and then we're going to die. But he says, bring me some bread first. Here's what God has promised. Make this for me first. Now that sounds like an utterly selfish thing. But in that case, it is not, because it's a test. You can ask yourself, would I pass that test? Let's just put it into an even bigger context. Do we put God first? In this case, this woman has to put Elijah first. In so doing, putting God first, but she's putting Elijah before her own son. I've only got this little tiny bit of flour left. We're going to make a little cake, some bread, we're going to eat it, and we're going to die. That's the end. There's nothing remaining. He says, now make some for me first. Notice how God works. He could have sent Elijah there a few weeks before that. There would have been plenty of flour left in the jar. He didn't. He sent Elijah there only when there was enough left that there, well, put it the other way, that there wasn't enough left even for three people. And then he was going to test this woman to see if that little tiny bit that she would feed her own son with, essentially as his last meal, if she would give that up and give that to God's prophet. It's exactly what she did. But not just blindly giving it up, but the promise was there. God has promised that the jar with the wheat isn't going to go out, and the oil will remain, and she believed. Would we? Regardless of what things are looking like right now, we're headed for trouble. If we're going to remain true to our faith, we may be in the time that Scripture talks about where you will not be able to buy or sell. I don't know how your garden was last year, but everybody that I've talked to, people who've grown gardens for years, said, no, we didn't do well last year. Can't blame it on the rain, because they watered their gardens. At which point you have to look at it and say, something else was going on. They have the ability to make sure that you can't grow anything, to make sure that you don't have what you need. Are you going to trust? God is going to push things. we will trust very easily as long as our refrigerator is full. But when we've got nothing, like this woman, will we continue to trust? Will we continue to have that faith? Our Lord tells us in the gospel that we have to humble ourselves. That's what this woman did. She was a humble, prayerful woman. And she was willing, out of her humility and out of her charity, to be able to give the little bit that she had to somebody else. And she was rewarded for that. So again, it's an opportunity for each one of us to consider that. What would I do? Again, put it into a context. Trouble's coming. We've got nothing. What if somebody shows up at my house and said, I'm starving? You're going to say, hey, the little bit I got's for me. Bummer for you. Go to the next house. See if they've got anything. We don't. You're going to say, I've got a little bit. I'll give it to you. See, this is one of those mysterious things that happens. If there's somebody living in poverty and someone else shows up and they don't have a shirt on, the person living in poverty says, you know what, I have two shirts, you can have my other one. If they showed up at a rich person's house that has numerous walk-in closets that are packed with clothes, I'd say, I don't have any clothes that I can give you. No, I can't afford to give up this blouse because this blouse matches this dress. And, well, this shirt matches these pants. And, well, I don't have anything extra. It's like, really, you've got hundreds and hundreds of them. The poor person gave up the only extra one that he had. But the wealthy person, oh, no, I don't have anything extra that I could give you. And we see our selfishness. We have to really look seriously at these kinds of questions, because our faith is going to be tested severely. Remember, our Lord told us, obviously he's talking about the end times here, and this isn't the end, but it is a prefiguration of the end. And he said, if the time were not shortened, even the elect would fall astray. This is not going to be easy. This is not going to be fun. This isn't something we can say, oh, well, that's okay. You know, it's going to get a little bad, but I can handle it. No, we can't. By ourselves, we cannot. And we must be clear about that. How is it that this woman's jar of flour didn't run out? How is it that the oil didn't go dry? She trusted in God, and the Lord provided. That's what we're going to have to do too. But if we don't trust in God, and instead we trust in our money, or we trust in whatever we've got saved up, you know, packed away for whatever, then nothing's going to happen. We're going to starve because we're trusting in our food stocks or we're trusting in whatever, but we're not trusting in the Lord. So while it's certainly a prudent thing to have some food put aside, living in Minnesota in the wintertime, it's always a prudent thing to have some stuff put aside. But we have to ultimately look beyond that. We have to say, well, that may be for my family and me. It may also be for some others. Now, in saying that, that doesn't mean, oh boy, then that means I better go to the store and buy another warehouse full of stuff because other people might need it. Yeah, other people will need things. But you know what? Elijah and this woman and her son needed to eat too. She didn't have a warehouse full of flour. God just kept providing the little bit that she needed when she needed it. Isn't that what happened for the Israelites when they were out in the desert? God gave them manna every day, only what they needed. The only day that there was anything extra was on Friday, because on the Sabbath they weren't supposed to go out and collect anything. So on Fridays they got twice as much. And that was it. When we pray in the Our Father, give us this day our daily bread. Notice Jesus didn't say, give us a pantry full so that we don't ever have to worry. No, he's saying, give us what I need today. Maybe the time's coming, we're going to have to live that. And we're going to have to trust the Lord. And so again, look at what that truly heroic woman did. Look at her disposition. Can we honestly say, as the Lord my God lives? He is my God. He lives, he reigns, he is the Lord. He is the Lord of the whole world, but he is the Lord of my life. I will trust him, I will love him, I will serve him, because he is the Lord. Now, all of us sitting here today can probably say that rather easily. This woman said it in abject poverty. That's where we're going to have to look really seriously at this. How deep is that faith? Remember when the centurion said, only say the word, and Jesus said, never, never have I seen this kind of faith in Israel. Never. He didn't say, oh, well, there have been a few people over the years, but no, he said, never have I seen this kind of faith in Israel. What did he say about his church today? Well, we're going to find out. So pray. And if you can honestly look at it and say, you know what, I'm not sure that I'm where I need to be here. I'm not sure that I've got that kind of faith or that kind of trust. Then this is our opportunity to prepare. By prepare, I don't mean fill your garage and your basement with stuff. I mean prepare your soul to look seriously at that question, to make sure that we've got that faith. Because there were lots of widows in Israel at the time of Elijah. To none of those was he sent, because they didn't have faith. They didn't trust. Oh, they believed in the God. It's about as far as it went. We need to put it into practice. And we're going to have that opportunity. So prepare for that. Look seriously at that. So that when that time comes, all of us will be able to say, the Lord my God lives. I believe, I trust, I love, and therefore I will serve him my whole heart and soul and strength.